And I wish you fine folks a very happy Monday morning. Although we do rebroadcast this show, the original airing is Monday, 7/20/20, at about 14 minutes or so after the 10 a.m. hour. It's been kind of hot lately, but that's okay. It's July. That's what we expect. Maybe we do have climate change. Maybe we don't. Maybe we'll have a president change in 6 months. And, of course, to talk about that, who would be better than the official WWGH presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman in Florida. Feels like we're in Florida today, but again, it's July 20th. Don't really expect much snow this time of the year. Temperatures around 90, well, a little above normal, but certainly not unprecedented. So, Ron, with half a year to go, and again, thank you again for being with us here on The Talking Place, goes without saying, for the 147th time, I believe. So with exactly 6 months, Ron, until the presidential inauguration, it'll be a change in seasons. And do you think there will be a change in president, or will Donald Trump be entering his second term?
I am quite sure that there will be a change of who's in office, yes, and that Joe Biden will be sworn in at 12 noon on January 20th, 2021. But we'll have to wait to see. We have to wait three and a half months to see.
Normally, you and I put a lot of credence, I think that's the word, credence not being the band, but being the word, in polls. But, of course, last time there was an election, the candidate we both favored, that would be, of course, The Hill, Mrs. H. Rodham Clinton, she was showing as being quite a bit ahead, and we know what happened. She did win the popular vote, but that's not relevant. It's only really for illustration purposes. It's electoral vote, and Donald Trump beat her quite resoundingly. And as we've talked about, and we agree on this, the minute I saw that Donald won Ohio, and not just by five votes, by a lot of votes, that the election
was over. Ohio, he did very well. But actually, he did not do resoundingly. He barely won in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, but by winning the vote by 10, 22, and 46,000, 78,000 total, he did win the Electoral College.
But again,
in Ohio, he did do a lot better.
Yeah, and I said, in Ohio, his victory was quite resounding. I was expecting him to win in Ohio, as I think you were, but I thought it would be very close. You know, could possibly just a few thousand votes. Well, it was a lot more than that. And other states, Wisconsin, being a good example, Pennsylvania also, a fairly diverse state. Pennsylvania says America begins here. Well, it doesn't mean literally in terms of government, just that the old America, the 13 colonies, the northeastern part of the country, which was our original America, of course, that Pennsylvania is kind of the starting block for that. And we have Pittsburgh.
And Philadelphia was where the Constitutional Convention.
Right. Philadelphia being, you know, 100 miles from New York City. Essentially, Philadelphia and New York, they're all kind of the same metro area at this point. And being a major East Coast city with a lot of history, the Liberty Bell and all that good stuff. And Western Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, having that slight Midwestern influence. I mean, being near Ohio, and the middle of Pennsylvania being very scenic. People don't realize how scenic and how mountainous the middle of Pennsylvania is. And there are some, you know, medium-sized cities, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, of course, the capital, Harrisburg, or State College, where Penn State is. But that's a diverse area, spanning a couple hundred miles, and it's fairly mountainous. So, you know, the diverse state of Pennsylvania, Donald won. Again, I wouldn't call it resounding, as Ron is saying, but I think he and I would agree that when we found out that he won Pennsylvania and Michigan and Wisconsin, even though it wasn't a tremendous margin, we pretty much knew that things were over, and the icing on the cake was his big victory in Ohio. People are saying, Ron, that that sniffy Joe Biden, and the to-be-announced female VP candidate, that he may win Ohio. I have serious doubts about that. Now, I think if he were to pick Sherrod Brown, for one thing, he quite possibly could get my vote. So I wouldn't, as I believe Joe's mortality is a serious issue, and I think you would agree with that, Ron, as he obviously has Alzheimer's. You know, I'm not Sherrod Brown.
Well, I would say no. I would say actually that Trump has more Alzheimer's by his behavior every day.
Right.
I think he's a lot more dangerous than Joe.
Well, we can debate that. I mean, as I've said,
I think we'll end up finishing the term. It's very possible the vice president will take over.
Even Trump's biggest supporters would probably agree that he's a whack job. I certainly would say he's a whack job. I mean, there are things I like about Trump, but I would not call myself a supporter. I'm certainly intrigued by the guy, as he's certainly our most unusual president, but saying I'm a Trumpite or a Trumper, well, that would be a stretch. But I
guess Joe's not a whack job. He may be slowing up a bit, I agree, but he's not a dangerous person at this point. Well, I think Trump is.
I think you would agree, Ron. Any politician in a position of major power is potentially dangerous. Every president, even the ones we like the best.
That's true.
Even Lincoln, Clinton,
but
you know,
Nancy
Nixon
Pelosi's
to an extent.
80. She's dangerous?
yeah, just it depends. I mean, yeah, and we can debate that, and we don't, Ron and I don't fully agree upon that stuff. We agree on a lot of the principles, but some of the nitty-gritty we probably don't. But bottom line is Trump is a character. Again, even his biggest supporters would agree. I mean, they may not say whack job. They might say a little nutty. They might say he's different, beats to the beat of a different drummer. But that's something we knew about before we even ran for office. For goodness sakes, he was a host of a reality show. That's not something that other presidents can say. Ronald Reagan was an actor, but more in Westerns and movies and movie-type movies, including Westerns and other types of movies. I mean, Bedtime for Bonzo, he was second fiddle to a chimp, but he still played a regular person.
He was actually in some very good films earlier in his career.
Yeah, Reagan was an outstanding actor, and, you know.
Yeah.
He was in show business. Nancy Reagan, although not the superstar that Ronald Reagan was, she was an actor, mainly before they got married. And his first wife, Jane Wyman, a long time, very talented actress, very beautiful actress, also, I'll add.
But an Oscar, which never won. That supposedly caused their divorce, I've read.
Yeah,
because
who knows?
I won the Oscar.
Who knows?
And
but
he had
I,
no chance to ever even be
definitely,
considered
for that. Jane Wyman, one of the more interesting previous wives of presidents. Of course, Donald Trump has had two previous wives, and I guess they're kind of interesting, too, especially because I always confuse Ivana and Ivanka. I forget which one's the mother, which one's the daughter, but it's one of the
Ivana's the mother, Ivanka's the daughter.
Yeah, I get confused, Ron.
He is added for the daughter.
Which, but anyway, Donald Trump certainly different. I do not believe that Joe Biden, if he is elected, will live. I mean, it's not a nice thing to say, but I want to face reality.
Concern.
As I've seen people with Alzheimer's, I believe he has Alzheimer's. I mean, in early stage, we saw it with Reagan, and I've seen with my own relatives and friends that 4 years under a very stressful job, president's pretty stressful. I question his mortality, which means that we're really voting for whomever he picks as vice president. And so to get back to what I said 5 minutes ago before I digressed, I'm not the biggest fan of Sherrod Brown, but he is a good man. He's a little old, but he's well-preserved. He's knowledgeable. He's a little too liberal, but not so liberal that I would get aggravated with him. And I think if he were to be picked as the running mate, and Joe Biden said he's going to pick a female, and I think he's going to hold true to that because all heck will break loose if he doesn't. Although I think Sherrod Brown would be the best choice. If he were to pick Brown, I think he would win. He would probably get votes from independents like myself, and he probably would win Ohio. But since I think he's not going to make a good choice, I do believe Donald's going to win. But I don't think it's going to be as resounding by electoral votes as it was in the Hillary election, though ironically it might be a bit different in popular votes. But bottom line is, Ron, regardless of what the polls say, I think the polls that you and I have seen online say Biden's about 9 percentage points ahead.
Some say as much as 15, which I think is hard to believe.
Yeah, we take
but they
those,
say in the swing states he's ahead by 12. I've seen some polls.
With a grain of salt. So I think you would agree that
more than Hillary ever had. That's the one thing. And, of course, Trump has a record now. Before he was a candidate, now he has a record and all the negatives that come out, which he didn't have before because he had never been in office. So that gives Joe an edge in that regard. And he is further ahead in the polls than Hillary ever was.
But you would agree that although you think he's going to win, you wouldn't bet your life on it, so to speak, because you're not completely confident. And we do encourage people, regardless of whom you plan on voting for, get your rear end to the voting booth and vote.
You should definitely vote.
One thing we value as Americans, and we shall see. One thing that always comes up, Ron, is people, and this myself as case in point, we feel that the candidates leave us with a choice between the lesser of two evils. And I would certainly agree with that. There are things I like about both candidates, but there are things that I'm repulsed by both candidates. With Trump, the biggest issue remains his lack of support of net neutrality, lack of understanding of it. One thing about me, Ron, I'm consistent. I said that, you know, a year ago, and I praised Jay Inslee of Washington State as governor for standing up and enacting his own net neutrality law in his state. Of course, since then, my opinion of Inslee has declined, although I admire his intelligence and admire the fact that he does speak out for what he believes in, but he has gone way to
the... He believes in science, too.
Yeah, he's gone way to the snowflake end at this point for me to say I'm a supporter, but I do recognize him as being intelligent. But again, we recognize Roger Stone as being intelligent, too, so that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to like you. Let's put it... Let's put it that way.
In other words, I can't say it on here.
Yeah, but in any case... with the lesser of two evils, you do one of two things, one of three things. You vote for the one that you find less repulsive, you abstain, or you put in a minority candidate or write somebody in. Now, one thing Ron and I will agree on is that if you don't vote for either Donald or Joseph, that you are voting for Donald. You would agree, Ron, that voting for an alternative candidate, whomever that would be, and there's always a few of them, or writing somebody in, or not voting, that is, for all intents and purposes, a vote for the incumbent. Now,
in the last election, I think by voting for the alternative candidates, it definitely hurt Hillary and it helped Donald, although he wasn't the incumbent. There was no incumbent in 2016.
Would you agree with me, at least partially, not saying I'm expecting a two-thirds agreement from you, that I'm not the only one who is repulsed by both candidates? In fact, I would think most Americans, if you were to ask them candidly, would say, I don't like Donald.
I'm repulsed by Joe. I've always loved Joe. I see he's not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But to me, there's no comparison of his experience, his background, his knowledge, compared to Trump. So to me, he's far superior. But I wish he was younger. Yeah, I do wish he was younger. I wish this was 16 and he had been the nominee and hopefully he would have beaten Trump. But it couldn't happen because his son, Beau, died in 15 and he chose not to run. So it's sad because I think it would have been better then than now.
And also the Biden vote is influenced and greatly by the VP choice.
And I wrote about that on July 14th on my blog.
Yeah, we'll cover that. But Kamala Harris looks like she will be the choice, and that will certainly influence people like myself. But she's a possibility. I mean, one of several.
Oh, certainly a possibility. Yes.
Yeah.
But
honestly,
she's my third choice. If you look at the article,
I'm just going to digress a bit because we're trying to make this a no corona, no mask zone. But a couple wisecracks and strong comments will be inevitable, and I apologize for that. If he were to pick Gretchen Whitmer, let me say that I would vote for King Kong before I'd vote for him.
Oh, God.
at least King Kong, at least he's powerful. And he's
He's not going to pick Gretchen Whitmer because he's going to pick a person of color, so she's white. So same with Elizabeth Warren. It's not going to happen. And Amy Klobuchar already backed out. So
if he were to pick a Whitmer, though, again, not everybody would feel as strongly as I do, but the election would be over. Bottom line, I think he's going to make what I call a stupid choice for VP. We've seen that before, Ron, with two candidates that we like. I mean, well, John McCain, you have some like for him. I mean, not a lot, but I like him. May he rest in peace.
It's all right. I didn't vote for him, but I'm compared to most Republicans.
Yeah. But, I mean, he certainly has admirable qualities, but he made a very stupid choice for VP. And we have Hillary, Tim Kaine, I get back to Sherrod Brown or any of a number of other candidates. I don't know what was up with Tim Kaine, but a very poor choice for VP.
But he wasn't dumb like Sarah Palin. He's competent.
No.
He's just not as bland.
Qualified, yeah. but does not have the things that you would want, especially with a female, albeit a powerful, outspoken female as the presidential candidate. I once again bring up Sherrod Brown. Not the most interesting guy out there, but he certainly is to the left of Hillary. And if you don't win Ohio, you lose the election. And we saw that, and we're going to see that again in 2020, in my opinion. And so I think Donald will win. I don't think it'll be resounding like it was in 2016, but I do think he will win. But that's part of the fun of politics. We're going to find out, now that people have filed their taxes. And if we have time, we'll talk about taxes a little bit. We have about 3.5 months, Ron, until the election. That's pretty crazy. We can go ahead and...
Yeah, 3.5 months from now is exactly it, yep.
Go ahead and kick this into high gear.
Actually, 105 days as of Tuesday, 15 weeks, so it's 106 on Monday, yeah.
But again, as I was saying, because, sometimes these digressions are kind of fun, because we kind of get into other topics, but I try to get back to them, but... regardless of how far we feel that the Alzheimer's has progressed in Mr. Biden, Ron, we would agree that the VP candidate. That's one of the most important choices a presidential candidate will ever have to make for a running mate.
Well, because nine times the president has left office, eight times by death and one by resignation. So, yes, one out of four vice presidents has been elevated during the term, and then, of course, five vice presidents were elected.
And
so,
certainly,
yes, so 14 out of 48 have actually ended up in the White House.
Regardless of our assessment of his mortality, he would be 83-ish for the 2024 election, probably would not run again, and we would expect, barring some unforeseen circumstances, that the aforementioned mystery female running mate would be running for president.
Well, she'd be the front runner, but it doesn't mean necessarily she would get the nomination. She'd have challenges if he was saying, I'm not going to run in 2024. There's really no way to know, but certainly be a front runner. I want to point out, though, that Ronald Reagan may have had dementia, but he lived another 15 years beyond, and it took five more years after he left until he was really unable to even communicate, and he actually said, I'm saying goodbye.
A couple things to keep in mind.
He is still functioning.
I was going to bring that up. Now, Reagan was younger than Biden, and I am seeing Biden.
Actually, he was 78 when he left, 77 in 11 months. He was basically the age that Joe's going to start off a few months older than Reagan when he left, but he was still functioning for another 5 years.
Right.
So I would say one term would be it.
He was younger. Now, again, as time marches on, people live longer, although of late, the lifespan of people has not gone up as much as it had been last couple generations, but all other things being equal, people do live longer as time marches on. So, 79 in 2020, it quite possibly is more like
78. It'll be 78 2 weeks after the election.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, 78, 79 in 2020 is...
But 78 is what he will
right.
be.
Right, more like 58 or 59 in 1920, but... in terms of Reagan, again, he was younger, not a lot younger, but enough. It seemed like the progression was slow. I think it was obvious in the beginning of his second term. And I'm seeing Joe Biden deteriorate rather rapidly over the last year or two.
I don't see it when he makes these speeches. I see him as being fine.
It's a judgment call. And we know he has said goofy things. I mean, Donald also. They have that much in common. They both kind of say a lot of stupid things, which, you can laugh at or you can...
Trump. Well, Joe says silly things. There's a difference.
But I didn't see that at all. And this is a lot of my perspective here, my control sample, so to speak. When he was VP under Obama, I didn't see those symptoms at all. That was fairly recently.
He did say some silly things and make some gaps, as they call it.
Right, but I didn't see obvious signs of Alzheimer's or dementia or a similar disease. I'm really seeing more of that, and it seems like it's increasing. Now, he's got speechwriters, he rehearses, he knows he has to seem presidential. That one slip-up, the media is going to go crazy. Even his fans are going to start wondering about him.
One thing is when the debates come, oh my God, September and October, assuming they are held, that is a crucial moment, obviously. If he messes up, although I think Trump will also, but it could be a turning point one way or the other, yes.
We can agree on that, Ron, and I would say that these debates, get the popcorn, get the liquor, they will be the most entertaining debates. I mean, you thought Hillary and Donald were entertaining. This is going to be a debate for a lifetime. We have two men, again, even their biggest supporters will agree. They both say stupid things, goofy things. They don't always think before they talk. And you're never quite sure what they're going to say. And Donald Trump, he also has a potty mouth. So I imagine the censors will be on hand to keep their hands on the button that cuts out the audio, because we would probably expect Donald to say a few words that you really wouldn't say in front of your mama. Joe Biden, likely to act more presidential, but you just never know what the guy's going to say. And
but
certainly,
nothing really insulting or foul-mouthed. He doesn't do that,
We would expect Donald to take anything that Joe says, which might be considered goofy or crazy, and we know he's going to say that. He's going to take the ball and run with it, and that will certainly make for an interesting presentation. So these debates...
It's going to raise blood pressures in a lot of people.
They're going to be hot. And we want to take a little break here and remind folks, if you are intrigued by presidents saying things that you wouldn't say in front of a lady or anybody under the age of 18, and you always thought presidents were gentlemanly and conducted themselves in a proper manner, well, you'd be mistaken, and we encourage you to get a book written by a mutual business associate of ours, Mr. Mike Purdy, who lives in Washington State. It's about presidential insults. And when you and I both read, Ron, I have talked to Mike Purdy on the air, very smart guy. You know, it's not political. He doesn't really get his own politics involved in this. He just talks about the potty mouths and funny things that presidents have said. And yes, Donald Trump, there's a caricature of him on the cover. He certainly is featured. But even presidents that we think would be gentlemanly, would be scholarly, and conduct themselves in a prim and proper manner. Richard Nixon, Abraham Lincoln,
Harry Truman,
both Bushes, even Jimmy Carter. Now, Jimmy Carter, the Southern gentleman, you and I, Ron, talk about every show. He's just too nice. That was his problem. He was too nice. We would agree on that. I mean, you gotta have a few mean muscles in your body. And Jimmy Carter, too much of a choir boy. But you know what? Even he puts on the boxing gloves and doesn't always act like a Southern gentleman if the time presents itself. And he said a few things about Donald Trump also.
So 6 years old, a couple more months.
So we do encourage you to get Mike Purdy's book about presidential insults. You can look it up on Facebook or on Amazon. Entertaining and will definitely stimulate a brain cell or two, because Ron and I, as much as we, you know, Ron especially, as much as we know and as much as we're intrigued by presidents, we were surprised by some of the things that some of these guys say. And in terms of the debates, I get the feeling Mike may end up writing another book, because I think the two or three debates will be enough to write a whole encyclopedia worth of presidential insults. And
there'll also be a vice presidential debate between Mike Pence and whoever the woman is that's Joe Biden's choice. And we should get to the list I had created. So
yeah, and that'll
you
be
go to that now?
That'll be entertaining. So we're speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, Adam being I and Ron being the professor. Ron is professored, I guess that's a word, for close to 50 years, mostly in Florida and on the East Coast. He has a PhD in, well, not really presidentology, but that's kind of his field, American history, American politics. He's written a book of his own about presidential assassinations, which I'm currently reading. And if your library is open, I don't think it is, but if it is, we encourage you to acquire it and to read it. You'll learn something, you'll laugh, and you'll definitely have a few raised eyebrows, to put it mildly. You can also look for it on Amazon. Rowan Littlefield is the publisher. Again, Presidential Assassinations, written by Ronald L. Feinman. That's a book that's actually become quite popular, which you can also read and learn about the great office of the President of the United States of America. Ron publishes the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read. If you don't agree with it, that's okay. Throw a rotten egg at it. Swear at it, crumple it up and throw it down the toilet. That's up to you. Or if you agree with it, post it on your bulletin board at your virtual office, because most of you are working at home anyway. Tell your friends about it. Give Ron a gold star. Do what you feel is best, because we do value free speech, whether or not you happen to agree with us. So, Ron, you mentioned your column on theprogressiveprofessor.com regarding
July 14th, yes.
Whom you feel the Donald will pick as his vice president. So why don't you go ahead and recapitulate, I love that word, recapitulate for us, summarize for us exactly whom you think are the top candidates, and what is your prediction, if you were a betting man, because, you know, casinos probably aren't open in Florida, but, you know,
a lot of different people.
Yeah, whom do you think Donald's going to choose as his, Joe as his VP?
I get the growing feeling, I may be wrong, of course, nobody really knows what somebody else is thinking, that his first choice will be former National Security Advisor, former Ambassador to the United Nations, Susan Rice, who was under the Obama administration. She's never been elected, however, but it's not a requirement that you have to have had elected office. She's been appointed. But she has more foreign policy experience than any other candidate. She'll only be 56 on Inauguration Day, the precise average age of presidents. And she's worked with Joe Biden and Obama and further back in the Clinton administration. And none of the other candidates have, in foreign affairs, the background she has. They have more domestic affairs. And I think she comes across very well. They get along very well. And I think her major liability is the fact that she's never been elected. But we've had other presidents who were never elected either. So it's not a requirement. So I would think she would be the best choice. Okay, now the second choice, which is a dream, is Michelle Obama, who would be 57. All three candidates I mentioned are born in 1964, which is interesting. So Michelle Obama would be 57. Kamala Harris is my third choice, 56. And so would Susan Rice be 56. But the question is, will Michelle Obama be willing to do it? I think if she did run, that it would guarantee victory, but I guess that's unlikely. And she's much admired, but I think my third choice, which I know you don't like, is I still think, based on everything we've heard and seen, Kamala Harris, who would be 56. But I would prefer Susan Rice if I had my choice. If he asked me, I'd say pick Susan Rice, Kamala Harris. Unless you can get a Michelle Obama.
You know? I used to confuse Susan Rice with Condoleezza Rice, and I guess they are similar in some ways.
Not related, but they're both African-American women, and Condoleezza Rice, of course, worked under Republicans, but this is Susan Rice, who's actually a bit younger. I think Condoleezza Rice is in her mid-60s now. This woman, all of them are born in 64. It's really funny how they're all born in the same year, so... It is ironic that it worked out that way.
I guess Condoleezza Rice.
To them on that fact, right?
She was brought up as a possible, I guess, but she's a fairly liberal Republican or middle of the road Republican, from my understanding.
Some people even suggested she could be picked across party, but that's not going to work. I think that would cause troubles to pick a Republican to be vice president. So I don't think she would be, but she's certainly qualified, Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, but she's been thought of as a Republican VP, and she may at some point. So there are two women named Rice that we think of, and I agree they're both very qualified. I can't say I know a lot about Susan Rice, but from what I've heard, I would say it's positive. I think she would give us some good new blood in the government. So if Joe Biden were to pick her, it may influence my decision, or it may not. But again, at this point, I'm still repulsed by both candidates. Let's just put it that way, and we'll move on.
If Michelle Obama was picked, oh my God, would that transform the race as far as the excitement? Nobody else could excite people as much, although there'll be those who hate her, of course, but it would be very exciting if Michelle Obama would end up the
place. I have, as I mentioned, changed my opinion on her. I'm not her biggest fan. There are things about her that I have an issue with, but I have decided I do kind of like her. She is big on fitness and being active, being healthy. I like her much better than her husband. She's very intelligent, doesn't have that all the political experience, really has no political experience, but she knows what she's doing. She's an attorney, just like her husband, and I think she will say what's on her mind, which may not always agree with what her husband says, a bit like Hillary Clinton, although Hillary certainly had experience in elected office on her own and appointed office. So a bit of a difference there. And, I'm a Hillary supporter and remain one. And if Michelle Obama, which could very well be some surprise pick, if she were to be the running mate, well, I may have to rethink my decision, as I think a lot of people would. But I still think it'll...
I mentioned that either Michelle or Susan Rice would be seen as a connection to Barack Obama. Harris really is separate from that. She had nothing to do with Barack Obama, but she's sometimes called the female Barack Obama.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, people are thinking Biden, you're just going to get 8 more years of Obama, plus the dementia and advanced age of Biden. He certainly isn't as good of a speaker, doesn't have that GQ presidential nature that Obama does, which, again, even his detractors, such as myself, think is excellent and important. I mean, it's an intangible that we look for in a president, one we don't have with our current president, but I guess that's part of what makes Donald so much fun. And would we get, almost like, with George Bush number one, Ron, we'd get the policies of Reagan without the charisma. And that was kind of his downfall. That's why, one of the reasons why he lost to Clinton after his first term. So would that happen with
Plus,
Biden?
Plus, Perot was in the race. It took 19% away. Yeah. If he hadn't been in the race, I think Bush might have won over Clinton.
Yeah, and that was a case of of a third-party candidate not helping the incumbent. And sometimes that happens also. But he was arguably our strongest, in modern history at least, strongest third-party candidate ever. And I think forever changed the course of history. But with Biden, yeah, you're getting somewhat senile, had a lack of a better term, not as charismatic, but also a little less liberal version of Obama. Again,
yes, one thing I got to say about him, he's 77 now, and of course he's aged, but if you look at him, I think, especially when he smiles, he's a handsome guy for his age, considering he's 77. He looks good.
Yeah, he does physically. He does look good, and versus Trump, you know, probably could...
Trump is not a handsome guy. He may have been years ago.
Yeah.
He doesn't look nice.
Yeah,
now,
he's not aging well.
He looks good.
He looks like he eats too many Big Macs and spends too much time sitting on the golf cart.
And Joe's very slim and in good shape.
Yeah, but you can't always tell just by the physical appearance, although it certainly helps. Obama being an example of someone who's sharp as a tack and likely will be for a while, was in good shape and well-spoken. And, you know, Biden also looks healthy, but you just kind of wonder when you hear him talk and you wonder what would happen to him with 4 years in a stressful office.
Well, if he can't handle it and if it has to lead to something, then we'll have a woman president. I think we're going to have one soon. If not then, probably 4 years later, you know, because I think a woman's going to come along in both parties and more likely we're going to pick a woman in the future.
We're speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor. And as usual, I'm going off into tangents. But that's all part of the fun because, you know, Ron, you never quite know what we're going to talk about. And we are trying our best to make this a no-mask, no-corona zone. And I think I'm doing pretty well because there hasn't been much talked about it, except in an indirect fashion. If folks want to know what I think about corona, whether or not it's a pandemic and my opinion on masks, well, I suggest that you read my Facebook post, as it should be pretty obvious, and you are welcome to message me, and if I have time, I'll even debate with you. It certainly caused divisiveness in this country like I've never seen, and I'm not sure it's ever going to go away, but there are many people who think it'll magically go away after Election Day, and I would tend to agree, but we are forever scarred, I'll certainly say that. Let's talk, Ron, about a passing that happened recently.
Yes.
John Lewis, Georgia congressman for about 33 years, passing away from cancer at age 80. What are your recollections and what are your thoughts about the gentleman?
Well, I remember John Lewis, in 1963, being the youngest speaker of the March on Washington. He was 23 years old. And he comes across as a very decent man, a real icon, is the kind of person in politics that you can really admire. And he was in the House for 33 years. And, you know, he's really a model for what we need in politics, whether a person is African-American or white, someone that tries to promote unity, not division. And I don't know whether you noticed, that when I posted on Facebook, I said I woke up, saw the headline, and I actually had some tears. Not weeping, but I did have some tears. And I was surprised, but some people, when they pass, it really affects me. It just does. And remember that happened with Hubert Humphrey when he passed and Paul Wellstone, and some reason, John Lewis, not a lot, but I did have some tears because I know he was sick, but still, it's such a sad thing. You know, it really is.
You mentioned that there's a movement to rename the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, after him as he was injured.
It should be because it's named after a Ku Klux Klan Confederate general. Yes, and I think it's time to change it because he got attacked there, of course, in 1965, along with many others, by the police of that area in Alabama. And a good chance that's going to happen. I hope something happens. Something needs to be named after him. Probably we should have a monument to him somewhere.
He was injured on Bloody Sunday 55 years ago when marching for voting rights at that site.
Yes.
Edmund Pettus was a Confederate Army general in the Civil War. He was a Grand Dragon of the KKK and a U.S. Senator from Alabama. So I would certainly not object to changing a bridge name from the name of Mr. Pettus to Mr. Lewis. I think that would be an appropriate change that wouldn't be bowing down to the political correct crowd. I think it would instead be the right thing to do. And let's make...
Yes, I absolutely think it would be. But you know what also alarms me? Ruth Bader Ginsburg again. Oh, my God, the fifth cancer she's had now. And is she going to make it to next year, or are we going to have another replacement on the court by Donald Trump? That's what's really, for me, particularly upsetting. I worry about her, but I also worry about the court. But she's had a fifth bout with cancer now, and she's 87, and it's really upsetting. It really is.
I think you would agree, Ron, that Ginsburg would not choose to resign under Trump because she would be replaced by somebody who is far to the right of her in politics. But if Biden were president, she would resign because Biden would nominate someone who is of the liberal persuasion.
Yes, I think if when he becomes president, she might, if she's still able to serve, she'll serve to June when the court term ends. But I think she would leave next June. But unfortunately, you know, God decides that she could die tomorrow. Oh, my God. You know, and then there'll be, it's one thing, if some people even think that she died after November 3rd, and let's say Joe Biden won, that in theory, Mitch McConnell might try to push through a replacement before the end of the year, because the Senate would still be Republican. That's the nightmare, you know. So I just hope she can continue to serve into next year. But if he gets reelected, Trump, there's no way, even if she stays, she's not going to last long enough to 2025. So it'll be a lost cause if Trump is elected.
Of course, as you folks know, time flies when you're having fun. So about 6 minutes left, and I do want to talk about Mary Trump. But before we do that, Ron and I, both being pretty big baseball fans, baseball is coming back this week, but
yes,
not quite in the form we're used to. Players wearing masks and no fans in the stands, and some rule changes that are outright ridiculous and stupid. And I'm not a fan of Rob Manfred, the commissioner. I've made that pretty clear. I don't think a lot of people are. I hate the designated hitter rule. My blood boils, as you can probably tell just by saying it. Putting a runner on second for extra innings, I'm not sure whose stupid idea that was, but I think it was Manfred's. Baseball, I don't know if it's permanently scarred, but you know, Ron, we may not agree on these changes, but we would agree baseball in 2020 is not going to be like baseball of previous years. Plus, there are no minor leagues. Baseball being unique in that there is a very organized minor league system versus basketball, football, and hockey, and that's, along with not having a clock, what makes the sport so unique. And that mystique, that charm is being taken away, but I guess, you know, any baseball is better than none.
Yeah, but unfortunately, some of the top stars are not going to be involved because they're worried about their families, and some have gotten COVID-19. So it could really be a mess if a lot of people get the COVID-19 during the 2 months. It could really make a mess where maybe they can't finish the season. Who knows?
Yeah, well,
and Toronto,
we'll find out. It'll be a
home game.
It'll be a very
Toronto
different.
Blue Jays will not be able to play at home in Canada at all.
Yeah, it'll be, and again, the travel restrictions, that is part of it. This will certainly be, just like the upcoming debates, one of the most interesting and unusual baseball seasons ever, and cancellation of minor leagues.
It could be it goes to games and stops. It may not be able to continue.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to continue. You can't play baseball under these conditions, but we'll find out, and I'll tune in just to see, because I'm just kind of curious about the whole the whole system.
And no Ohio State football, it looks like, huh?
Well, that's going to be a big one. Again, I'm not an OSU fan. But
to all these communities, especially not only Columbus, but smaller communities around the country, like Athens, Georgia, or Athens, Ohio, or other places where teams are, and they can't play, and that's going to affect the whole economy of those, even Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah, OSU football is important to this area. It's big for the economy.
Yeah.
Everybody is affected, indirectly or not. And it'll be a very different late summer and fall, we'll say that much. You know, minor leagues, Ron, are big in this state. The Columbus Clippers, one of the most popular, most attended minor league teams. Yeah, anywhere. We have teams in Akron and Toledo and the Youngstown area,
right?
Dayton.
There's no minor league play at all. Is that correct?
Tremendous effect on the economy. Mike DeWine, our governor, his family is an owner of a minor league team, I believe in North Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. So he's certainly a big baseball fan. That's, you know, one of the things I like about the guy. I'm kind of mixed opinion about DeWine, as you've probably inferred, but it's going to affect him as a baseball fan. And he's from the Dayton area, the Dayton Dragons, a Reds affiliate, have a tremendous fan base. You know, Dayton being a fairly large city for having a Class A team, but not this year. It's really a shame.
Wow.
And just like the Double A team in Akron, which has changed its name a few times. I believe they're now called the Akron Rubber Ducks. But whatever their name is, an affiliate of Cleveland, but not this year. A tremendous effect on the players and their livelihood. I don't know if it's going to be permanently scarred, but with Rob Manfred as commissioner, I suspect it will be, which is
and meanwhile, the minor league players who don't get to play, they may lose their chance to have a career to advance.
Yeah, well, it's unprecedented times right now, Ron, and it's certainly getting hairier. Before we say goodbye, after 40 minutes of fun conversation, even if the topics are somewhat negative, we still try to make the best of them and understand that laughter is the best medicine. Mary Trump, the niece of Donald Trump, in a recent book, informs us that her Uncle Donald is mentally unstable and has been a nasty person his entire life, and that his father passed on horrible traits to his children. She also feels that Uncle Donald is a white supremacist and an anti-Semite. He claims to be pro-Israel, but has nothing to do with it because anti-Semites are pro-Israel because they see it as the Holy Land and think they can convert Jews to their sick brand of Christianity. Also says
especially the evangelicals, they all want us to become Christian, those of us who are Jewish.
And Mary Trump also says that Donald Trump uses the N-word, that's the six-letter word beginning with N, which I am disgusted by. And I don't like to hear it, and my blood boils when I do hear it. I've never personally heard Donald say that word. Do you think that Mary has a vendetta against her Uncle Donald, Ron? Or do you think that what's in the book is true? I mean, is there a vendetta, or should we take it at face value?
Well, you saw what I wrote about this friend of my son, David, who was a caddy years ago. You saw what I said there. Trump and a businessman are playing golf, and this person I know was a caddy for the businessman, and Trump had an African-American caddy. Trump hit the ball and then said to the caddy, and I'll say it, he just had to say, go get that ball. So, and this guy, you know, I know him well, and he said he was totally stunned. This is 20 years ago. That he actually said it. So for him, so Trump to say he's never used that word, well, this one person heard him say it, who was a golf caddy back then. So it's not made up, and at least once. But Mary Trump says it's not just once, you know.
Do you think, though, that Mary, is there a vendetta against her uncle? Is there bad blood, or should we take what she says and believe all of it?
Well, she was cheated out of money back at the time when Trump's father died, so and she can't do anything about it. I think she just wanted to let us know before the election kind of person we're dealing with, including the fact that she mentioned that when he was 18 years of age, he had a Jewish kid, which is interesting, take his SATs for him so he could get into college and do better. So imagine, he even cheated on the SATs back 50 years ago. Can you believe that?
Well, it sounds like it'll be a good fodder for a debate, as I expect that Joe Biden will be bringing up what Mary Trump said, I would think probably pretty early in these debates. And I think you and I, Ron, would like to hear Donald Trump defend himself, because there are things that he does need to talk about. And if we find out Mary is exaggerating or outright being dishonest, well, it's really going to get hairy. Certainly. Interesting election coming up, and we again encourage folks, regardless of whom you vote for, please do vote, as that is one of the things we enjoy as Americans, just like free speech. I respect all your opinions other than hate speech or below the belt type of insults, which we do here, myself included. I respect and appreciate and encourage all opinions. That's what makes this country great, is our free speech, and let's hold on to that permanently. Seems like we're losing a lot of the things in this country that we value, but let's never lose the free speech and ability to pick the candidate of our choice. Ron
Thanks
Feinman.
Thanks again for inviting me.
Yep. Thank you for, again, being with us here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Again, please visit Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, and send me an email on our private email server. I would love to hear from you. Adam at WWGH1071.com.